In her poem, Primary Wonder, Denise Levertov wrote, "Days pass when I forget the mystery. Problems insoluble and problems offering their own ignored solutions jostle for my attention. They crowd its antechamber along with a host of diversions, my courtiers, wearing their colored clothes, caps, and bells. And then, once more, the quiet mystery is present to me. The throng's clamor recedes. The mystery that there is anything at all, let alone cosmos, joy, memory, everything, rather than the void. And that, O Lord, Creator, hallowed one, you still, hour by hour, sustain it." The vastness of primary wonder must at some point overtake us when we realize just how little we know. I mean, we know enough to find our way home, anyway, most of us do. But we don't know how to digest our food or pump our blood or even how we actually think our thoughts. We usually compensate for this through the odd magical trick of taking everything for granted. Things are just the way they are, and avoiding that gaping chasm in the midst of our understanding. It's been said that the wonders of nature do not seem wonders because they are so common. If no one had ever seen a flower, even a dandelion would be the most startling thing in the world. When we wonder where consciousness comes from, we decide often that it must be an accident of nature, a byproduct of biology. Some even set out to prove this product of our imagination. What wonders might be available to us if we were to accept the vastness of our unknowing? It seems that wonder is the opposite of knowing. In order to really understand wonder, you've got to let go of knowing. Or at least hold it a bit more loosely. Openness, not understanding, is the point. If knowing has the feel of figuring out a puzzle, then wonder might best be described as having the feeling of receiving a gift. The first of the six sources of our Unitarian Universalist faith is direct experience of that transcending mystery and wonder affirmed in all cultures, which moves us to a renewal of the spirit and an openness to the forces which create and uphold life. In the recovered lost Gospel of Thomas, that great teacher we know as Jesus is quoted as saying, "If the flesh came into being because of the spirit, it is a wonder. But if the spirit came into being because of the body, it is a wonder of wonders." Indeed, I am amazed at how this great wealth has made its home in this poverty. I think this is reflected in the words of St. Augustine, who said, "People travel to wonder at the height of mountains, at the huge waves of the sea, at the long courses of rivers, at the vast compass of the ocean, at the circular motion of the stars. And they pass by themselves without wondering." When we, like Denise Levertov, wondered that there is anything at all rather than nothing at all, we must turn that wonder back upon our own selves. What are we? How can it be that we exist at all? Albert Einstein said that the most beautiful thing we can experience is the mysterious. It is the source of all true art and science. A person to whom this emotion is a stranger, who can no longer pause to wonder and stand wrapped in awe, is as good as dead. Their eyes are closed. For millennia, people have looked upon the face of wonder and called it God, meaning that which underlies all creation and is forever beyond our capacity to understand. As our curiosity and determination has removed portions of our ignorance, many have entertained the fashionable idea that the whole category of the unknowable and unknown, the very idea of God, be tossed aside as a primitive delusion. I want to challenge this fashionable idea. I believe that it's the product of the narrowing our field of vision and closing our minds to wonder. As we sharpen our tools of reason and logic, we sometimes overlook the fact that life, the universe, and everything is not rational. This isn't to say that they're irrational, but non-rational. Rationality has proven to be quite a useful tool in dealing with the challenges of life, but we need to bear in mind that our minds are the products of life, the universe, and everything, and not the other way around. We may create our understandings, but we do not create ourselves. We may rail at the misuse of the concept of God, but we've not come up with a suitable replacement. And without the word, the idea is hard to hold because it's a concept that is necessarily beyond reason. The relationship between mind and reality is beautifully recaptured by the famous poem Trees by Joyce Kilmer. Many of you can probably recite this along with me. I think I shall never see a poem lovely as a tree. A tree whose hungry mouth is pressed against the sweet earth's flowing breast. A tree that looks at God all day and lifts her leafy arms to pray. A tree that may in summer wear a nest of robins in her hair, upon whose bosom snow has lain, who intimately lives with rain. Poems are made by fools like me, but only God can make a tree. I'd like to close this with Morning Poem by Mary Oliver. Every morning, the world is created. Under the orange sticks of the sun, the heaped ashes of the night turn into leaves again and fasten themselves to the high branches, and the ponds appear like black cloth on which are painted islands of summer lilies. If it is your nature to be happy, you will swim away along the soft trails for hours, your imagination alighting everywhere. And if your spirit carries within it the thorn that is heavier than lead, if it's all you can do to keep on trudging, there is still somewhere deep within you a beast shouting that the earth is exactly what it wanted. Each pond with its blazing lilies is a prayer heard and answered lavishly every morning, whether or not you have ever dared to be happy, whether or not you have ever dared to pray. May our hearts and minds be opened. Amen.